Happy Monday, everybody. Let's start the week with a bi-coastal trip report. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Let's hear what Patrick Snow, the publishing coach and international best-selling author of Creating Your Own Destiny, The Affluent Entrepreneur, and The Boy Entrepreneur, has to say about the wisdom of Walt. Every now and again, you read an entrepreneurship book that forever changes your life. This is one of those books. Dr. Barnes has brilliantly communicated the true story of Walt Disney in a way that inspires you to realize that all of your dreams are possible if only you believe in your visions and never give up. This book is sure to be a classic and one that I will cherish in my collection forever. If you want to live your dreams, then start here. Pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt on Amazon in softcover, hardcover, ebook and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They are the site that will help you stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I'm going to encourage you just to drop by touringplans.com today, see all of the great free trip planning tools that are available to you right now, and then sign up for that premium subscription to get the full experience and make your next vacation awesome. Check them out today over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1159 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for dropping in and kicking off yet another work week here in the middle of April. With us here at the Be Our Guest Podcast, of course, it is Trip Report Day. Today we're going to do a little run Disney talk, but if you're not a runner, don't worry, because we're going to talk about more than just running. So joining me here from St. Louis, actually from the east side over near Edwardsville, Illinois, for all of our local St. Louis listeners, we have Jared. How's it going, Jared?
Doing great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, glad to have another St. Louis and on the show talking a little Disney. It's a, you know, there's a lot of Disney fans here around the metro area.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think in general, there's Disney fans pretty much anywhere you go.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we're going to talk kind of quickly about, towards the end of the show, we're going to get everybody pumped up for this weekend's Dark Side Half Marathon down at Walt Disney World, the Star Wars race. You'll be completing your Kessel Run Challenge, which I'm so envious of. That medal is amazing, the Millennium Falcon. But I think we'll kick it off today by talking about you participated in the Light Side Star Wars race out at Disneyland in January. So take us back to that. Who'd you travel with, and what made you decide to take on this coast-to-coast challenge here?
Well, sure. So last year, it was my wife and myself. Last year, we did the Dark Side Challenge. By the time they had announced the Star Wars runs for last year, that is, we were already signed up for the Walt Disney World Marathon. So unfortunately, we were unable to make it out to California last January for the Light Side run, but we were able to get in the Dark Side. And as you know, right, whenever you complete the Light Side and the Dark Side challenge, you get that Kessel Run. So that's really what inspired us to try to go for it this year.
So
is that we missed out on it last year.
Well, so what I'm excited to ask you about, because you did run Dark Side last year and you ran Light Side, obviously, back in January. And I was down at Dark Side, so I have a little, you know, I was a mess. I remember that was when I was having all the health issues. I don't know. I still don't remember much of that race. It was brutal, but I did enjoy the experience of what I can remember from that weekend. But, you know, it'll be fun to compare the two. Like, The Dark Side down at Walt Disney World last year, what were your impressions, you know, a year later now? Was it one of your favorite races? Was there something you would change? What do you think about that race from last year?
So I can't say it was one of my favorite races as far as the course goes. It definitely was one of my favorite races as far as the theme goes. So you know, with us being, you know, Disney fans and Star Wars coming into the fold, we were very excited about that because we're Star Wars fans as well. So, you know, being able to see all of the Star Wars characters and the merchandise around Run Disney, and one of our favorite things, and Star Wars, another one of our favorite things, was really exciting to see. But like I said, the course, you know, probably wasn't our favorite. There was some transportation hiccups, I think, because it started in Epcot and ended at the Wide World of Sports. So I think they had a little couple of struggles there. So I'd really like to see them make some changes and make up for that this year.
So is the I haven't even looked. I've been so busy lately. Is the course the same this year for Darkseid?
It is not. It actually starts at the Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom parking lot. So it's going. You're going to start at the parking lot for near the Ticket and Transportation Center near the Polynesian, and take off from there and run to Epcot.
Wow, I like that. That's definitely an improvement. And you know what I like to see is when, because I felt the same way. I thought the transportation was kind of a nightmare after the race, and it wasn't easy before the race either. So I'm glad to see that Run Disney is addressing that, because I did read a lot about that, you know, in the weeks following that event last year, last April, that, you know, something had to be done. And it's good that they're not just saying, oh, people will forget about it a year later. Let's actually jump in there and make some changes for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to a new course. It starts off, you know, like I said, near the Ticket and Transportation Center. So the first few miles are going to be on the road, which I don't mind. You know, the first few miles are the easiest, so I don't mind knocking those out early on with minimal entertainment, and then getting into the parks and getting into the hardcore entertainment and characters later on in the race.
Yeah, good point. So let's kind of wrap up last year's Darkseid. You know, the thing I remember, and the thing I think you have to watch with this race weekend in Florida coming up, is that it is, you know, mid to late April. And last year, and again, I was not feeling well, so my perspective is probably off, but I felt just really hot. And I know that it's already been over 90 in Orlando this year. You know, they've had some intense heat over the past few weeks. So is that a concern for you going into this weekend? I mean, because you're from St. Louis and it gets brutally hot, lots of humidity here. But what are your thoughts on running a race this time of year down at Walt Disney World?
Well, I think running in Florida, you always have to be aware of heat being a possible deterrent, being an issue. So, you know, for those who have run Florida in the past, I don't think that's anything new. For those new to Run Disney and running in Florida, you know, it's something to be aware of. I'm just concerned about the costume runners. Some of those costumes are pretty elaborate, and you know, that's one of those things that you don't necessarily take into account for whenever you're making those costumes. So just be careful out there, keep hydrated, and, you know, follow all of the usual rules.
Yeah, I think it's
you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things too where, you know, they always tell you not to blow through a water stop, but I think it's extremely, extremely important, because, you know, your body can trick you when you're running. For the new runners, I mean, everybody that's done, you know, lots of races like you have, you know this, but, you know, you just gotta be careful. Sometimes like, I'm not thirsty, I'll just wait till the next one. You can get behind on that stuff and never catch back up. So make sure, especially in an April race, even if it's not, you know, 90, or, you know, even if it's in the 50s or 60s, catch that hydration, because it'll get you in, you know, get you in a hurry.
Oh yeah, you're right. Adrenaline is a tricky thing. It makes you feel better than you actually may be performing.
All right, so let's head out to the West Coast, because I've obviously never been to Disneyland and really itching to do a Disney race out there, one of the Run Disney half marathons. I really want to do the one I've got my eye on is the Labor Day, the Disneyland half. It just looks very cool to me. But if I go out there without the family, they'll kill me for the first time. So I'm kind of in a pickle there. You know, if I've been there once, I could do it. But, you know, we got to have the first time experience together seeing Disneyland. So we'll have to make that happen. So what were your thoughts in like, where did you stay? What were the logistics of running out in California?
So we stayed at one of the good neighbor hotels. We stayed at the Fairfield Inn, which was right on Harbor Boulevard, right across the street from Disneyland Park. In fact, we were right across the street from Space Mountain. So it was real easy for transportation-wise, because we were able to walk everywhere we went. The first day, our arrival day, we did rent a car from the airport, and we went into downtown L.A., into Hollywood, and went to the real Chinese theater, if you will, the actual Chinese theater in Hollywood, California. So we got to see the footprints in the concrete. It was kind of fitting, because they still had from 1977 the original concrete slab with R2-D2 and C-3PO and Darth Vader in there. So that was kind of cool to see that and real fitting for the weekend. While we were in the area as well, you know, that's where the Hollywood Walk of Fame is, where all the stars are on the sidewalk. And we did find Mickey Mouse's star. We found Walt Disney's star. And for you, Mike, we found Michael Jackson's star
there
as well.
Go. Captain EO himself.
You got it. So yeah, we just took in the sights around there. We saw again the Chinese theater. We saw the El Capitan theater, which was right across the street. When in Rome, or when in LA, if you will, you have to go to In-N-Out Burger. So we did that for lunch, and started heading back to the hotel, or over to the hotel. And my wife discovered online this ice cream place called After's Ice Cream, and their specialty is, so they take a warm glazed donut, cut it in half sandwich style, and then they put their ice cream on that. And then you can also have the option of rolling that in cereal. So that was one of the things that was on her must-do list, and it was definitely worth it.
You know, I think you and I need to open one of those up in like a O'Fallon or something, you know, near your house. I think it would do well.
Oh, I'm down.
That'd be nice. You have me a glazed donut with ice cream. So it sounds like you've been to Disneyland before, though, right? Because I would get the itch to have to go immediately to Disneyland, but you had the restraint to go see some of the other tourist things.
Yeah, we did. We've been a couple of times. We have two boys, and for each of their 10 year birthdays, we've taken them to Disneyland as their, you know, the big milestone trip for them. So we've been a couple of times. So yeah, we kind of wanted to check out some of the local touristy things before heading over to Disneyland and getting sucked into the Disney bubble.
Yeah, my dad talks about those In-N-Out Burgers because, you know, he's out there with the Rams, you know, a bunch of weekends in the fall, and he makes a point to go out there, and he's pretty cheap, so he it must not be too expensive, but he loves it. So
oh, yeah, like, it's definitely the thing to do.
Nice. All right, so let me ask you about the Fairfield, though, because that's one of the questions I get the most is about the Good Neighbor hotels and which ones are, you know, people have had experience with and that it's been either positive or negative. So you have the three on-site hotels at Disneyland, which can get costly for some weekends, especially run Disney events. But what did you think? I mean, was it a good value? Did it work out well for what you were looking for? It sounded like the location was great, but how did it compare to maybe a Walt Disney World stay?
It was, as far as value goes, it was a great value. Like you said, right, the on-site hotels, they can get priced out pretty quick. And in fact, really what happened with us is we booked early on, and the availability of those, the Disneyland hotels themselves was pretty minimal. And our options were pretty limited. So we were pretty much forced, if you will, to look to the Good Neighbor hotels. As far as accommodations, I would put it on par with the Disney World, the values, as far as the type of buildings that they are. But as far as room size, I would put it more on to the moderate size. So it was definitely a nice place to stay. You hit the nail right on the head. The location was great. So it was, as far as convenience goes, you know, we couldn't have picked a better place to be.
Yeah, and the thing about a running weekend is your needs for your resort are drastically different in most cases than if you're going on vacation. You know, when I'm going down this summer in July, you know, I'm actually going to go to the pool, and I'm actually going to, you know, hang out and maybe eat at the hotel, where over a running weekend, honestly, they're so crazy and it's like over in a flash that I do a lot of times just need a place to shower and sleep, and you don't get that much sleep anyhow, so why pay for a deluxe price as many times? Except, you know, the one thing you're looking for to run Disney weekend is proximity to the race events. I mean, that's why I will sometimes splurge for like a beach club or a boardwalk over a marathon weekend, because there's something to be said for being close. But for room size, I don't necessarily need it at a run weekend, especially if I just travel by myself. So it's really definitely something to think about.
All right. Absolutely agree. And as far as location, proximity to the race, so this place was within walking distance. In fact, when we were doing our pre-trip research, looking for transportation from our hotel to the start of the race, there actually wasn't any. So it was considered, you know, walking distance. And it ended up being about a mile from our hotel to uh, the you know, where everybody convenes before the race. So, I mean, that was one of the things, one of the main differences that we noticed between the Walt Disney World races and the Disneyland races is that that pre-race, you know, time is much less stressful.
Yeah.
Because everything, it's really easy to get around. You don't have that, you know, it's not as spread out as Disney World is, obviously. So you don't have that urgency of I have to be on the bus at 2 a.m. so I can get to the gathering point at, you know, at 2:30 so that I can, you know, be, you know, start walking over to the corrals, which are almost a mile away. So it was as far as convenience goes, it was much nicer from in that respect.
Yeah, when you say, you know, we got to walk a mile to the start, you know, folks that haven't experienced a run Disney event are probably like, that's a long way, you know. It's, you know, but that's, you know, for somebody that's running a half marathon or so, you know, 16 to 20 minutes, you know, probably 20 minutes at a leisurely pace there. But when you're at Walt Disney World, you probably do walk more than a mile. But like you said, you introduce all the anxiety of I got to make sure that I get on that, you know, one of those first buses, and then, you know, otherwise I'm in a huge line, and then you get dropped off, and then you got to kind of go through, you know, X, Y, and Z to get where you need to be. You know, give me a mile walk to get started and I'm good to go. That sounds great to me. It sounds like a definite advantage to those West Coast races.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
All right. So walk us through the race weekend. So what did you run and how did it go? And what'd you think of the course and the theming and all the, you know, everything that goes into the events?
So we did the light side challenge. So we did the 10K and the half marathon. We started on Thursday with the expo, and that was held within the Disneyland Hotel at their ballroom. So the expo itself was much smaller in scale than the Walt Disney World Expo is at Wide World of Sports, but there are definitely still the lines. So the merchandise lines, we waited probably about 45 minutes to get in to buy our merch, but that was cool because right next to the line they had a mobile refreshment cart, and they were selling Kessel Rum Run drinks. So
they don't miss.
I ducked out of line and got a couple of drinks for my wife and myself, and that made the time go by a little bit quicker. But they had the usual suspects there, right? The New Balances. Jeff Galloway was there. With it being a much smaller space, you know, Jeff Galloway was kind of right on the floor, just hanging out, talking to people, chatting up people. So it was neat just to walk by him and, you know, say, "Hey, Jeff," and he's right there.
That's awesome.
Very accessible.
Yeah, I think that's it. Almost parallels like the Walt Disney World experience to the Disneyland experience, just as a theme park guest. You know, I've heard that, you know, Disneyland is charming. It's intimate. You know, you feel really, you know, connected to the environment. And Walt Disney World is, you know, it's really massive. But I mean, it's, you know, it's really extraordinary, but it's a different scale. And I think even, you know, the Run Disney events probably kind of parallel those things too.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think that translates directly to, you know, the lack of size that they have at Disneyland versus the abundance of size that they have at Disney World.
All right, so now I'm a huge fan of the 10Ks. I really like a good 10K. The 10K over marathon weekend is probably my favorite race all year. I like the course. I like running through the boardwalk and, you know, Epcot, and, you know, 10K for me, that's, you know, that's about where I start petering out. So that's a good distance. You know, I can go further, but I'm not always usually happy when I go further. So how'd the 10K go out there?
This 10K was probably my favorite Disney race ever. I think the 10K at Disneyland, that course is pretty much static. They don't change it from event to event. But from that 6.2 miles that you're running, the majority of it is within the park. So you start off in Disney California Adventure and run over to Disneyland. And there is a lot of park time, which, you know, in comparison to Disney World, is one of the things that, you know, they really can't do on those shorter races is give you that much park time. So we really, really enjoyed that. One of the cool things that we experienced while we were there was pre-race with the race announcers. They had a new race announcer. He was kind of being the man on the street. Kevin Gregg was his name. But my wife and I, we dressed up a little bit in this for this race, and my wife dressed up as an Ewok, and I dressed up as a stormtrooper. Kevin picked my wife Stacy up out of the crowd and said, "Hey, come over here. We want to put you on a Jumbotron." So while he was doing his little man on the street interviews, you know, he gathered up my wife and a bunch of other people in costumes, and They were the background scenery while he was doing his spiel on the Jumbotron. I thought that was really cool, and it gave us, again, one of those really intimate personal touches to this race that we hadn't had before.
So what was it like running in costume? I would imagine it's easier in California than Florida, but I mean, is it something that was it what you were hoping to get out of it?
Oh, absolutely. Because what it does is it makes you recognizable. So, you know, whatever course support that's there, whatever people are there cheering you on, you know, they're more inclined to call out to you. So it's really cool. It's a really fun experience. I think my wife had it a little bit worse than I did dressing as an Ewok. So she did have, you know, some fur components to her costume. So, you know, it was January, so it was a little bit cooler. But, you know, if I were to, you know, translate that over to a Florida race, I don't know that I'd want to wear something like that in the heat and humidity of Florida.
That's what I was going to say. You have any plans to dress up this coming weekend down in Florida?
We do. So my wife is doing the 5K this weekend, as well as the Dark Side Challenge, the 10K and a half. So she is actually going to rewear that Ewok costume on for the 5K. So I think she the rationale was I can put up with it for 3 miles.
That's, you know what, that's a good idea. I the only time I've run in costume was the 10K, and I can do it for 6 miles. But I'm never doing it for a half or a full, because I, you know, you're gonna get rubbed in places, you know, like I had a chin strap for my Mickey ears. You know, that thing would have killed me if I'd had to go, you know, any longer than that. And you wouldn't think of that, but yeah, I'll put in a message to Dave Murray and see if I can get you guys some cool weather for this weekend, so your wife will be all right.
Oh, thanks, much appreciated.
There you go. All right, so how's the half marathon out there? Was it you said you enjoyed the 10K, but how was the half?
The half marathon was good. So it starts off the first, you know, 10K, the first 6 miles is pretty much a redo of the course that you do the day before. So you do, you know, run through DCA, you run through Disneyland Park. Again, that's just a stellar part of the course. Now, this is about the time when you start running out of road within Disneyland proper, and you have to transition out to the streets of Anaheim and the surrounding areas. That, I would say, if I had to have a negative, would probably be the number one negative that I would take away from that is once you hit Harbor Boulevard and you're running down into Anaheim, you know, you're off Disney property, so you're outside of their control. They no longer have the characters. They no longer have the photo pass photographers. So it's really, you're depending on the locals coming out and cheering. We did see some of the Lizard Cheer Squad. So that was cool when we were heading out onto Harbor Boulevard. So it was neat to see some friendly faces. But yeah, as far as that goes, it makes for a pretty uneventful last part of the race.
So was this something, though, once you finished your races, did you head home right after that, or did you stick around and do some vacationing, or how'd you wrap up the weekend?
We stuck around for a couple of days to celebrate. So, you know, we've been out to Disneyland before, but not a whole lot of times. So we definitely had to take advantage of our time out there and spend a couple of days in the park. You know, spent our time between the two parks. What we really got a lot of value out of this time was using touring plans. Now, as you know, people who go to Disney World an awful lot, it's something that we really don't feel the need to use when we're in Florida, but it was absolutely, you know, crucial to use when we were in Disneyland, because we were just able to knock out so many attractions and get so much done and see so many things, but at the same time not feel stressed that we were running from attraction to attraction to try to do all this. It was very well planned out. It was just such a great value to have that in our back pocket.
Yeah, Ricky said the same thing when she went out to Disneyland for the first time a few years back. And she said that, you know, it surprised her how, she said almost the exact same thing you said, that, you know, she didn't feel like she was rushed, but she got so much done because she just kept checking, okay, I need to do this. Because again, she had no frame of reference being her first trip and she had very limited time. But she said, you know, she got almost everything done that she wanted to, and she was shocked, and she said that was a big help. So I'm glad to hear, you know, of course, they're a sponsor, but it's good to hear that, you know, we are partnering with folks that are helping us plan better vacations. So I'm glad to hear that.
Oh yeah, we were able to do a lot of the headliners multiple times. So Radiator Springs Racers, we were able to do multiple times, which if you're trying to do it on your own without any kind of plan, those lines can get horrendous and it'd be hard to get in, just one time.
All right. So let's shift focus here, the last part of the show, to this coming weekend, Dark Side Challenge, completing the Kessel Run. What's your plan for this weekend? Where are you guys staying and what are you looking forward to the most about hitting Florida here in just a few days?
Looking forward to most is being quote unquote home. We've missed out on a lot of our familiar faces, a lot of our, favorite activities, being out in California. We had a great time in California, but just looking forward to being home. We're staying at Pop this time. It's one we haven't stayed at in a while. It was one we, kind of like you, stayed there a lot early on, but, have branched out and now we're, going back home. So it'll be nice to hit that place up again. As far as races go, like I said, my wife's doing a 5K. We're both doing the Rebel Challenge, so the 10K and the half. So looking forward to that Millennium Falcon medal. Can't wait to get that in my hands.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I've looked at that thing at every expo for the last couple of years. Like, I'm going to get that someday, one of these days.
Oh, yeah. I go up and touch it and lift it and just feel the heft of it. I can't wait.
I think everybody does. I do the exact same thing. So now, is it just you and your wife that go down for this weekend, or did you take the kids? And how do you break it to them? I mean, because, like, Mallory would kill me if I didn't take her, even though I want to do that sometime. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So on race trips, we do tend to leave it to just my wife and myself, just us without the kids. We do go, a couple times a year. We're lucky enough, fortunate enough to be able to do that. And we do take the kids on those trips. So, they do get to have some fun too. But, with these race weekends, I mean, as you're running around, there's, not as much focus on spending time in the park. So, we don't feel that they would get, the same amount of fun out of the trip as we would. And I just would feel guilty waking them up so early in the morning, so many days, just to, come and watch us run because they're with mom and dad.
Yeah, that's a great point. I will say that, I'm so thankful that we have this big running community it's remarkable to me to see how many people get up on their Disney vacations to cheer, to be out there, especially over marathon weekend, but all these weekends, you'll see it again this weekend coming up, that you'll see folks out there cheering. And a lot of folks are on their vacations, but they're getting up at the crack of dawn, not even the crack of dawn. They're getting up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning to get out there and cheer. And I will say, I'm thankful that my wife and, she's not a big runner. She'll do the 5K with us and stuff like that. And Mallory and all of our friends will get out there and they, there's a camaraderie in our cheer squad. But that's also a huge sacrifice for, everybody that gets out there and yells. And I can tell you as a runner, it means a ton to me, but you don't really think about that. But you just made me think about that. Right. I mean, you got to worry about where your kid's going to be when you're getting up at 3:30 in the morning or hopping on a bus and you got to get them from here to there. So, yeah, it takes a community for that to happen. But it's a sacrifice definitely for them, for the benefit of us, I think, as runners.
Oh, yeah. And the people out there cheering for us, they're getting up at the same time that we are. They're not getting a medal for that.
No, they
All they're
should.
Getting is our appreciation. And, at the end of 13.1 miles, it's greatly appreciated.
Oh, 100%. So any like meals, any experiences you're looking forward to outside of the races for this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. All of the new things at Disney Springs. I mean, we got a little taste of it when we were there back in November for the Wine and Dine. That place has just changed so much. There's so many new experiences there. We can't wait to, satiate our appetite there.
Yeah. Nothing like a good restaurant after a run Disney weekend. Is there any that kind of has you intrigued? I can tell you, I've got experience with Frontier Cochina. That's good. Mexican Blaze Pizza is really good. Good value. A lot of people are getting those like in their hometowns. I'm seeing that on Facebook all the time. We haven't gotten one here yet, but
when we were in California, stopping in, getting our Milky Buns at After's ice cream, there was a Blaze right there. Definitely looking forward to Blaze. And Deluxe Burger. We were able to sample those places when we were there in November. Those two are outstanding. They're definitely going to be a regular stop for us. I think as far as new experiences that weren't there the last time we were there is Paddlefish. They have a really interesting menu. They have the massive Bloody Mary. And my wife doesn't drink a whole lot, but what she does drink is Bloody Marys. So, you know, we're waiting. Can't wait to get our hands on that one.
Yeah, it looks like they have two. I can't remember exactly what's on the menu, but I remember they had some nice looking shakes, like for dessert. They kind of looked interesting. But you can have so many good desserts at Disney Springs right now. It's ridiculous. You know, you got sprinkles, you got the patisserie. I mean, it's a good place to eat. You know, it's a great place to wrap up a Run Disney weekend because, you know, you've burned off, what, you know, 78,000 calories. You know, you got to multiply it by like a multiple of 17 or something so that you can, you know, justify all that fun.
Oh, that's right. It's totally the reason why we run.
That's it. Well, Jared, hey, I wish you the best this weekend. I wish all of our lizards the best down at Darkside. I wish I could be there with you. Just things didn't work out this year, but you guys have a great run. I can't wait to see the pictures on social media. And thanks for coming on the show today and giving us a little bi-coastal trip report so we could talk some Run Disney to kick off another week.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Mike, and thank you.
All right. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. So you need a good read, and this is a great book by Dr. Jeff Barnes. Get inspired. Learn lessons from Walt Disney himself. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Pick up your copy today. And also drop by touringplans.com. Jared mentioned it. You can get a subscription that'll take care of you out at Disneyland, even Universal. So when you're looking to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next vacation, do it the right way. Drop by and pick up that premium subscription over at touringplans.com. Please do continue to give us that support over on our affiliate link with Amazon. You guys are killing it. We appreciate that so much. It's helping us pay the bills for the podcast, really supporting the show. Just go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon the next time you need to buy anything. Costs you exactly the same. Gives us a little incentive there from Amazon, and we truly appreciate that. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, do check out Magical Mouse Radio over at magicalmouseradio.com. Again, for all of our runners heading down to Darkside, safe travels. Remember, tag those photos on the social media with #RunBOGP. I'll be retweeting those and, you know, passing those along, posting them on the Facebook group and so forth. But I just want everybody to have a safe run, a fun run, and get out there and make some memories. You know, the running events are so much fun. I'm so bummed I can't make it this year. It's not working out. But moving forward, we're going to have more great times together. So everybody, you all have the best runs of your life. Make some awesome memories, you know, cheer each other on, and just have a great time. So for Jared, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. It's time to get back to work. Safe travels, lizards, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.